So let's open our Bibles in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, and then we're going to see a story in Numbers chapter 13. And so you can go look for them. And the title of my message, as Pastor Christian said, is Fear is a Liar. Amen? You want to say it with me? Fear is a liar. One of the things that the enemy wants to use against us, and one of the most effective weapons that he has is fear, amen? And all of us as human beings, you know, we all experience fear at some point in our lives, amen? We have, maybe in some seasons in your life, you feel more fearful about things, about your future, about the circumstances, about your marriage, about your school, about your work, about whatever. It could be any situations that you are in, amen? And at some point, you feel like fearful about things. But today, I just want to encourage you that the Bible says that God has not given us a spirit of fear. Amen? And let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1 and 7 says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, amen, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? Amen? Let's read it one more time. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Let's pray this morning, and then we jump into the Word. Father God, thank you so much for everything that you have done in our lives, Father. Thank you, Father, because you are so good to us, Father, because your love is here with us, Father, as we sing, Father, these songs, Father. Father, that you have made us free, Father, and we are chosen. We're not forsaken, Father. Thank you because that's who we are, Father. And I pray, Father, if anybody here, Father, feels different, Father, feels distant from you, Father, maybe the first time, maybe they haven't had that encounter with you yet, Father, that today will be the day, Father, those people will be closer to you, Father. They will have the encounter with you, Father, and you will change their lives forever, Father. Thank you for this word, Father. Help me to be the communicate the best that I can, Father. And I pray that you, through your Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking to their hearts, Father, and even my own life, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray, amen and amen. So I just want to give a little bit of historical background before we start reading Numbers chapter 13. We're going to be reading from 25 to 33. And then we're going to go to chapter 14 and continue reading, amen, as I'm going to keep preaching, amen. So, when God brought Israel out of Egypt, God wanted them to give in something good, amen. Yeah. They've been a slave for 400 years, God brought them out of that slavery, and then God wants to take them into the land that he prepared for them. Amen? Amen. Now, God told Moses in the desert and says, choose one representative from each tribe and send them to the land that I'm going to go, that I'm about to give you. Listen to this. Very important. In chapter 13, verse 1, and 2 says that God was about to give the land to them. Amen? God never told Moses, just go and send these people so see if you guys can make it or not, if you guys can do it or not. God says in verse 1 and 2, says, I'll send you to this land that I'm going to give you. Amen? So God's plan is, I'm going to give you this land. So Moses, that's what God asked him to do. So he chooses 12 people. He sends them to explore the land. And they're there, you know, exploring the land. They come back, and that's where we're going to start reading in verse 25 of chapter 13 says this. At the end of the 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported them into the whole assembly and showed them the fruits of the land. They gave Moses this account. This is what they said. Amen. We went into the land to which you send us, and it does flow milk and honey. I'm just going to stop a little bit there, you know. This expression is to describe the land, amen, the abundance and fertility of this land. In other words, this land is rich in nutrients, and this land is really good, so God is going to give us something good, amen? Yeah. So God wanted to give him something good. So now, let's continue reading in verse 28. It says this, but the people who live there are powerful. That's where they begin a little bit doubting God, amen? And the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Now, all these other cities or other people that live surrounding that area that God was going to give them, they were really evil people. Amen? They wanted to conquer Israel. They wanted to, pretty much they wanted to conquer, you know, all those areas there. So they're surrounded by evil people, evil, I don't know how to say it, tribes, whatever you call it, you know, towns or whatever you call it, okay? So God says, I'm going to send you there. I'm going to give you this land. It's good land, amen? But I'm surrounded by giants and evil people. Now listen to this. This is very important because I want to talk about four things that fear does in our lives and how fear wants to control our lives. Amen? And we all can relate to this because we all, in certain points in our lives, in some seasons in our life, we are being led by fear, make decisions by fear, you know, and things like that. So I want to see four things here, but we're going to continue reading in verse 30. It says this, then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and say, we should go up and to take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Amen? So Caleb and Joshua, they're like, man, let's take this. It's good, you know. We're going to do this. But then, 10 of them, what happens? 31 says, but the man who had gone up with him said, we can attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Verse 32. And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they have explored. They say, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw, they are of great size. Another version would say, they are giants, okay? And I just want to stop there, okay? So I want to give you four things there, how fear works in us. Are you ready? So the number one is this. Fear will make you lose the perspective of who God is. That's the very first thing that fear does in our lives. Amen? When you begin to see the circumstances, when you begin to see the things, maybe God is showing you, maybe God puts a desire how you want your marriage to be, your kids, your work, you know, and all that. And then all these circumstances comes against you, then you begin to feel fear. Amen? Then the first thing the fear does is fears begin to diminish who God is. That's all it wants to do. And let's see what verse 31 says. Remember, Caleb and Joshua says, we can do this. God is with us. We can do this. But then the other 10 begin to doubt and say, no, we can. And verse 31 says, but the man who had gone up with him said, we can attack those people. They are stronger than we are. And they begin to doubt. Amen? Now, like I say, verse 1 and 2 of chapter 13, God already told Moses, I'm going to give you this land. I'm not sending you so you can see if you can do it or not. He promised that land to them. Amen? Amen. So he was going to go through, he was going to be with them, he was going to give it to them. But they begin to doubt, verse 31. Now, this is how that works, the fear works. And I have a couple of images there that I want to show you. I want you to see. Which of those orange dots looks bigger? Which one? The right on the left? Which one looks smaller? Do you know they're the same size? They are the same size. If you really pay attention, they're the same size. But this is how our mind tricks us. Amen? This is how, you know, it's, our minds, our brains is wants to process two things at the same time. Amen? And it can't quite really do that. So this is how our mind is, you know. Now, let's go to the next picture. Next picture? Do you have the next picture? Look it. I just want to say this, okay? Let's say that the orange dot represents God. And the other circles around you are the circumstances and your giant. Amen? Now, it looks so small because that's what fear does in our minds. They begin to what? Make us lose perspective and diminish who God is when we begin to magnify the giants and the circumstances in our lives surrounding us. Amen? But what happens when we see God for who really He is in the middle of the circumstances? Let's go to the next picture. It's this. Amen? God is still there. God is still the same God. He's still a big God. But when we have the right perspective of God, then we can see the other circumstances surrounding us just the way they are, small. Amen? In the sight of God. Now, fear wants to control our lives, and when we open our lives to really fear to get into our lives, then that's what fears begin to do in the first place. It begins to diminish who God is because we begin to pay attention to all the other circumstances and begin to see our giants and this, you know, surrounding us. Then we will begin to see God so small. And that's what happens here. Two of them says, we can do this. 10 of them, they say, no, we can't. They're big. They're stronger than us. We can do this. And then God began to be so small in their minds. And I just want to say this to you. Why have you and I have left fear diminish the size of our God? It's a very natural thing from a human being to begin to magnify things and to see things bigger than what they are really are. Have you been there? When you're insecure, you're going through a circumstance in your life, you don't know what's going on. You know, maybe it's in your marriage, maybe it's in your kids, maybe it's in your school, maybe you don't know if you're going to pass the class or not, and you begin to fill your things with all these things, and you begin to see those giants so big, and you begin to lose perspective of God in your life. Amen. I hear pastor one day was preaching. I was listening to him on YouTube, and his name is Grant Cook. I think he's from England or somewhere there. He was saying in one of his preachings that one day he was at his office, just normal day, you know, office, the church, and then the phone rings. And then he picked up the phone and said, hello, this is Pastor so-so, you know. So then the guy on the other side, on the other line says, I just want to let you know that I worship Satan, he says. And I have something, a message for you. He says, I got things against you and your church. And he says, I'm coming against you and I'm coming with your people and I'm going to make you struggles in your congregation and in your own life. And he began to curse him, you know, for a few minutes. So the pastor, he just listened to him, you know, kind of chill, you know. And then when he finished, he says, well, before you hang up, I just want to tell you something. I just want to give you thanks because for all the curses that you gave me, I believe God is going to turn him into a blessing for me and my congregation. So thank you so much, he says. And then he says, And I have another message from God to you. It says, you're not coming against me. God is coming against you. So you better watch out. So the guy gets mad and he just hangs the phone. Then, I don't know, 3 or 4 months later, he's in the office again, you know. And then he phone rings again. And there's this guy again. But this time, this guy is a little different. And he says, the saintest guy says, you know what? Remember me when I spoke to you 3 or 4 months ago? I really hated that phone call, he says. Because I'm so used to people fear what I say. I'm so used to people being afraid for the things that I mentioned to them and then the curses that I gave to them. I'm so used to that. But when I talk to you, when I speak to you, it was very different. And then the pastor is like, kind of like playing with him, kind of like silly, and he says, oh yeah, man, thank you so much for calling me again. You know, like, you will not believe how blessed I am because of you. And he began to, you know, say things. And he says, and not just that, he says, the sentence, he says, but a few weeks ago I met Jesus, he says. He says, we were there in the mountains with my, I don't know, group of saints, whatever, we were doing some kind of ritual. And it says, and we were in the bonfire, it says, and then out of the fire, Jesus came out, he says. And he began to touch our heads. It says, and then we began to experience something that we have never experienced before, he says. And it says, since that day, I've never been the same, he says. Every time that I wake up and I look, you know, myself in the mirror, I feel so dirty and so ugly. And it says, and then it says, a few weeks after that, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it says. And not just me, but the whole group that I was with me, I led them to Christ. Amen. So, see, fear wants to control us and wants to make us seem like there's not a hope for our situation. They're so big, the giants so big, and that's how the enemy wants to control us is by fear. Amen? By fear. So, fear will make you lose perspective of who God is. My second point that I have here is this. It's that fear will make you build a false reality. Very important, amen? The second phase is the fear is gonna make you build a false reality. Let's see what happens there in verse 32. It says this, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land that they have explored, saying, the land we explore devours those who live in it. See, you can see here that they begin to kind of like exaggerate things, you know. Once fears enter into them, they begin to build a false reality. And let me tell you, that's how fear does to our lives. Once you let it come in and you open your life completely to fear, then you begin to create false realities in your mind. Have you ever been there? When the enemy comes in and put fear about your marriage, about your kids, about that, then you begin to think about, it's my wife is being unfaithful to me. What if this happened? What if my kids do this? What if they, this situation in my job, maybe they fire me or whatever, you know? And you begin to, we say in Mexico, we begin to build a telenovela, you know, a soap opera, a drama in your own mind. And you begin to live a false reality. Have you ever been there? You're driving, you're thinking about those things, and you're even talking to yourself about those negative things, things that might never happen. But because you let fear come into you, then you begin to build a false reality. And that's what these people begin to do. They begin to spread of false rumors, false realities, right? They begin to say, the land, it says, devours those who live in it. And the people we saw, they are great size. And they say, amen. Now, when you begin to build false realities in your life, you begin to speak lies. You begin to speak wrongly into your life and into people's life. Amen? Because you are so controlled by fear, and then all you think is fear as circumstances, as your giant, and then you begin to speak wrongly. Amen? Amen. And we all been through there because we all humans. And I know that when we don't know how the enemy operates, then we are defenseless. Defenseless. Thank you. Defenseless because we don't know how the enemy operates, so we cannot attack. Amen? But I'm giving you these four things so you understand when those thoughts coming, when that fear wants to come, you know how that operates and how fear wants to take over your life. So they begin to build their own bad reality, a false reality, and to speak wrongly. Amen? Now, I just want to say this. Be careful when you are going through that into your life to speak a lot. We all like to speak, you know, we all like to talk, you know. And I find myself sometimes speaking out of fear and out of my circumstances. So you find yourself there too. And then it's bad for you, but it's contagious to the people around you. Amen? Now, they begin to exaggerate things. And Hans is one of the tallest guys I know, you know? I mean, he's like tall, you know? I guess any person is taller than me. But anyways, they begin to say, they're giants there, and inside of them, you know, they look as we are grasshoppers, you know. Mm-hmm. We're so tiny, like grasshoppers compared to them. Now, tell me if it's not a lie. I mean, come on. I mean, a person can be tall, but you will never look like a grasshopper compared to them, right? It's just an idea that's really way out of proportion, you know. Hans is tall, I mean, but I might look like a puppy or something, you know, but not a grasshopper, you know, compared to him, right? So they begin to speak wrongly and begin to exaggerate things overboard in their minds. That's exactly what fear does in our lives. You and I, we begin to construct a big telenovela, right? A drama around things that might never happen. But that's how fear wants to control us. Amen? Now, be careful how you speak in those moments. Amen? Be careful what kind of information you let into your mind, into your heart. I will say in those moments of you're struggling with a lot of fear, anxiety, I will say that look for help. Amen? Find a person that can help you to go through this, navigate through this in your life. Amen? And another thing is don't make big decisions that are going to affect your family and the people surround you when you are going through these stages in your life. Amen? We go through the circumstances, we say, oh, I got to fix it. I got to do a major change. But I find out in my life that the times that I make a decision when I'm not really in my mind and my heart and in my emotions, I pretty much, the majority of the time, I end up making really bad decisions. Amen? Because you cannot make good decisions when you are struggling in your mind and your heart and you don't have the right perspective. Amen? So you have to be out of that in order to make good decisions and better decisions for our lives. Amen? So they began to speak wrongly, exaggerate things. And then the third thing they do is, my third point, which is this, fear will make you panic. Amen? They enter in a stage of panic. Have you ever been panicked about something? It's crazy how humans we are, right? And Sunday we can be like, yes, the Lord, it's good, blah, 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 blah. And then tomorrow is like, we're kind of like panicking about a little circumstances, what's going to happen here. And that happens to all of us, amen? We make a huge drama. We make this movie in our minds, and they begin to panic. And not just that, but we begin to spread. Let's see what verse 14, I mean, chapter 14, verse 1 and 4 says this. Look at how people begin to fear and be panicked about all this thing. It says, that night, all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, if only we have died in Egypt or in the wilderness, why the Lord is bringing us to this land only to let us fall in by sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt? And they say to each other, we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Look at what they begin to do. They begin to panic, cry, because these 10 leaders begin to spread lies to the people. And then it gets contagious. And everybody's afraid now. And everybody is begin to doubt God. And then everybody's beginning to see God so small. When God's plan was, I'm going to give you the land. I just sent you so you can see how great it is. Amen? But see how fear, when you begin to speak wrongly and you begin to act wrongly, spreads to your entire family. It spreads to the people that you are surrounded with. That spirit of fear spreads. And that's what the enemy wants to do. Now, I'm speaking now as a leader, as a man, you know. The enemy wants to control us. Amen. As a man, you're supposed to be, the Bible says, supposed to be the leaders of our home, lead our families. Amen. Lead the church. Lead. God wants us to lead. Amen. But when we let fear come into us, it makes us so insecure. It makes us to doubt. It makes us to panic. Then we begin to pass thus that panicking and that anxiety to the people, our families. Then our family began to doubt God, because if the leader is doubting, if the leader is panicking, then, man, we're losing the hope. Amen? Amen? So I'm not saying that we should pretend that we never are fearful of anything. I'm not saying that. But we just need to be, there's a right way to deal with that. Amen? As the leaders. Amen? That's what God gave us, our wives. You know, we can go and say, can you pray for me? I'm beginning to fear this and that. But we don't let fear control our lives. We don't open the doors. Amen? When we see fear coming and we begin to see fear, we don't let it, we don't open our doors and embrace it. Amen? We have to be accountable to people. We have to look for help, for prayer. Amen? Amen. So they begin to spread. And now everybody's afraid. Now the whole Israel are afraid. They want to go back to Egypt. See this? When you are going through this in your life, when you are fearful, you will never make a good decision. What they were thinking? Let's go back to what? To Egypt. To slavery. And that's what we usually do. When we are fearful, we want to medicate ourselves, and our first choice seems the best choice. Let's go back to what we know, what is comfortable. Even if it's not bad for us, not good for us at all, but because we're living in fear of the future, what's going to happen, this thing, slavery in the back, it kind of sounds good in that time. And they say, let's choose another leader then, and let's go back to Egypt. Now, my question is, did they have a good time in Egypt? No. They're slaves. They worked them until they die. They will rape their children and their wives. Is that a good life? No. But when they're so fearful, they cannot think straight. They don't have the right perspective. And then slavery seems good idea. See how the enemy diminishes you completely, you know? Then the four point that I have here this morning, and I want you to begin to prepare your heart for the outlook that we're going to have. Because I just want to submit to you this. If you're going through a time of fear in your life, and you begin to panic, maybe you have walked for a while in a false reality. You have been lying to yourself and to your family and believing the lies of the enemy. Today you can break that in the power of Jesus. Amen? So, I just want to remember you. Fear wants to enter and wants to diminish who God is. Then he will begin to build a false reality in your mind. And then you start walking on it, you are acting on it, and you begin to contagiate others, your fear. You begin to panic. Now you're not only you're panicked, but your family is afraid about whatever it is. And it spreads. And then everybody's insecure. And then faith is no longer there. Then this is the last thing that the fear wants to do. Is the fear will make you lose what God has for you. Fear will make you lose what God has for you. God says in verse 1 and 2 of 13, of chapter 13, it says, Moses, go to the land that I'm going to give you. That's what God wants us to give them. But then they let fear enter and spread, and everybody is mad at God, and everybody is complaining about that. They want to go back to Egypt. And then God gets really mad at these people. And let's see what it says in verse 27 of chapter 14. 27, you can read the entire, at your house, you know, the entire what happens and all the details. I don't have time to do that, but let's just jump into 27 and 32 says this, of chapter 14 says this. How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, God is telling Moses, tell them, as sure as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing you heard, that I heard you say. What did they were saying? We're going to die. Right? You're going to die in this desert. That's what they were saying. Verse 29 says, in the wilderness, your bodies will fall. Every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me, not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifting hands to make your home, except Caleb and Joshua. Isn't it crazy how fear can take everything from us, even the very things that God has promised to us? So God is telling them, because you guys are doubters, because you are grumbling, because you want to go back, because you let fear enter and control your life, and now everybody's panicking, and now you seem like you don't have hope, then I will give you whatever you desire. That's your desire? You want to die here? Okay, that's what I'm going to give you. And if we see, you know, in the history, you know, you continue reading, we see that all the entire generation did not make it to the promised land. It took you 40 years to everybody can eventually die, you know, of all that generation. And then God give the promised land to Caleb and Joshua and all that new generation who believe God. Amen. So I just want to tell you this. Don't let fear control you. Don't let fear take away what God has for you. Whatever that means for you, I don't know what that means. Maybe you're right now in your mind, what does that mean? I don't know what that means. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your career. Maybe it's your kids. I don't know. Maybe it's your ministry. I don't know. Whatever. You know your what you're dealing with. I don't know what you're going through personally. But I know that this word is for every one of us. Amen. Whatever you're going through. Maybe you have walked in fear for a while already. See, it's very sad to me to meet people that always seems to be living the entire lives in drama and anxiety. And it's all in their minds, in sickness. And I'm not saying that we go through times, and sometimes we do go through, but I met people that all their lives is like that. And I know that the sometimes we go, I myself have gone into times of difficulty. I don't know what to do. And maybe a little anxiety. I can't sleep, you know. And we all go through. By that time passes away when you begin to trust God and to say, God, I know that you are with me. Amen. But I met so many people sometimes, you know, they just live their entire life for 30, 40 years. They've been living like this, alive with the enemy constantly, 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 believing, living in fear. It's like the way, the lifestyle, it's not a season, it's a life that they want to live. And I just want to encourage you today, you've been living life of fear. If that's your style, you have to break it. God has great things for you and for me. You can break it. How do you do that? What is the 2 Timothy says? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, amen? But a power and love and a sound mind, amen? The right perspective of who you are. We are the sons and daughters of God, amen? We are His children. He has rescued us from slavery. So we can walk in confidence, not in our own confidence, but in His confidence. Amen? And His word, and His love, and His power. Amen? So today, I just want to challenge you. Maybe you came here with fear. You've been living this life. I tell you, today is the day that you might break it if you choose to do so. Amen? By the power of God. I want you to stand up this morning. And we're going to sing a song. And I just want to encourage you, as we sing this song, maybe you want to break the fear of your life, in your life, the lies of the enemy. I want to encourage you to come to this altar and say, God, I surrender to you, God. I trust you. I trust you, my future. I don't have everything in control, but I trust you. I'm going to stop believing the lies of the enemy. Amen? Come to this altar, surrender to God, give God your fears, open your heart, and believe that God has given us a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. Amen? Let's worship this morning, and as we worship, you can come, and I will be praying for you if you will. So.